You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Ow. Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy rinse-free whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for two shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White, a whiter smile without the wince.
Go. Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 229 of East Central's favorite podcast. 229, I cannot believe that. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I'm joined by Mason Rottinghouse is back in the building. Our big guest is going to be Joey Molinaro. Zach Burcham's on the producer's desk. But most importantly, I got my forever co-host, Dakota Davis.
Today's episode features all of us, of course, talking to Mr. Joey Molinaro, being back in the building. The biggest celebrity that we've had in a while, Joey. You know, we did.
Thanks, man. That's very kind.
We teased some stuff that you've been working on in the Patreon portion, and we're not going to talk about that on the main show. We're going to leave it there. And if people want to find out what you've been up to, then they can go pay us and then get that bonus episode. But we're going to be talking to you about all kinds of things, falling in love with motorsports and launching a podcast with Mr. Connor Daly. And then Jeremiah wants to talk about F1 banning bodyguards on the grid.
I mean, this has been an ongoing story. Joey's covered it on his show. Mm-hmm. We've covered it on Boss Hog. It's a developing story.
Also, you're very concerned about the Panama Canal.
I just think Christmas is going to be ruined, and you should all know.
You know, I think that we have a good plan on how to fix it, but if you want to hear how we can fix the Panama Canal, my idea, then make sure you stick around to the end, and you'll hear all about it.
And we have to get one more step up on Muncie, so we're gonna pour salt in that Muncie wound one last time and see what terrible thing happens to Newcastle, because that's what happened last week. Zach's turn your mic on, Zach. If you're gonna laugh,
the mic's
like that.
On. I was off mic.
All right,
I'm gonna be in Newcastle this weekend, so I don't really want to know what's gonna happen.
This show's about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you, other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. I learned today that I don't need to worry about planning Patreon. I had a whole thing lined up that we were gonna talk about, and instead I brought a box of donuts, and you got 20 minutes of high-level, great-quality donut talk in Patreon this week.
Listen, man, at this point, we're 229 episodes in. The only reason that we really even make show notes anymore is because we promise them to the people who pay the bills here. You know that we could come in here with any guest, and Joey's a good guest because he talks, but you know that you and I could come in here with literally any guest in the entire world.
We could do an hour.
And we could do an hour. Easy. It would be like nothing. But, you know, we promise these folks
helps.
The show notes.
It helps the guests as well.
And, you know,
it lets them know we're a little bit professional, that we have a clue, that we have a plan.
And if we get
first timers,
you know, if there's things like that we don't know what we're talking about, like I have no idea what any, like 70% of these show notes even mean tonight, there are links in there so I can look them up and get a little bit of a clue before the show starts. But, you know,
these are link heavy this week.
Yeah, they are.
I tried.
And if you want a peek at those, then you can join patreon.com/bosshogofliberty. That's where you go and get the show notes ahead of time that we were just talking about. You support the show every month at any kind of a donation level. And, you know, that's how we pay the bills for the studio. That's how we pay the light bill. It's getting into winter, so there's going to be a big heat bill coming. We do have electric heat here, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know,
I turned it on in here.
Pump those numbers up, you know.
And I came in, I took my sweatshirt off, and I legit was sweating for a moment. I had to turn it back down.
You know, today was a nice day. We've had a few pretty good days here at the very start of November. But if you sign up at $50 or more a month, then you get a shout out at the front of every episode. And those folks are Christy Avery from all the way in Fort Wayne, who did give me a compliment when no one else laughed at my joke earlier. Mr. Jonathan Phillips, our favorite car dealer in these continental United States of America.
Over at Andy Moore Buick GMC.
And Fishers, tell him that I sent you there. And our good friend, our hero, Anthony Meyer, who's trucking.
I mean, he disappointed me this week. In the Patreon group, he was telling me about how he took a picture of a Sinclair gas station sign, mm-hmm. One of the glass like lamps.
Yeah.
Looked like it was in a restaurant on the divider line between the smoking section and the non-smoking section, and he wouldn't steal it for me. So I'm very disappointed in Anthony this week.
That's right.
It would look fantastic in the studio.
We love you, Anthony, but you know.
If you're not willing to commit a small crime for me in Wyoming.
It's minor.
I mean.
Like.
Wyoming. I mean do they even have laws out there?
He said that he thought they had bigger guns than he did. And that was his defense, I suppose. Okay. You know,
that's fair.
But
he's when he's driving out to Wyoming, he's living in a truck. There's not, you know, you got to make good use of your space. There's not a lot of gun room in that truck. So, you know, you do with what you can.
It's understandable.
He's got that cute dog that he takes around with him. Dogs are the best, man. We also have T-Chip stores.
I don't know. Joey tried to kill two on the way here tonight.
Well, I've had a day full of interesting dogs. So my precious 11-month-old chocolate lab, Happy, he is not so happy, as Jeremiah pointed out to me before the show today, because he got chopped. He got snip today. It happened. I picked him up at 4 o'clock. The boy, my God, he broke my heart. He came in with the cone, and he's, you know, he just looks so terribly sad. So he is resting with mama at home right now. But then when I was on the way out here, since I-70 is crazy, I took some back roads, and it was very dark. And I'm pulling up, you know, I'm going a solid 45, 50. And just ahead, my brights come on, and I see what looks like to either be some sheep or perhaps a small cow or two. And so I stop, and, you know, I'm like, holy shit, holy crap. And it turns out they're just two big golden retrievers right in the middle of a country road. I don't think I was in Newcastle yet, but in the eastern part of Indiana.
Were you on 38?
One of those. That sounds right.
Okay.
Either that or Central or, yeah. And so I stop and I let them go around. You know, I'm concerned a little bit, checking out to see if maybe one of their owners is with them. Didn't see anybody. They get out of the road, but then I see a car coming up behind me about a half mile down the road. I'm like, my God, I hope that they see these dogs.
Yeah.
I hope that they're not looking down at their phone, because that would be very sad for one or two or, yeah, any of those dogs to go down tonight. So I've had interesting day with the doggies. But yes, my happy boy, he's recovering well. He's doing okay. But that's tough, man. When you see your boy, he's got all this energy. He's all good. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he just gets chopped. Didn't even know. You know, you feel so bad because you're like, you don't even know it's coming. You can't be like, hey, man, you're going to get your balls cut off today. He's just, you're taking him there. He has no idea.
He's a puppy. So every single person that he's ever encountered has been just full of love and life and love for him.
Yes.
So he gets to the vet and everything's innocent. He's like, oh, I love the vet. These people, you know, sometimes I get a shot, but they always give me a treat afterwards.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Give me some cheese or some peanut butter.
And there, and you're like, I'm going to leave you here for the day, happy.
Yep.
And he's like, that's all right. That's cool.
He's ready to go. He had a bunch of nice ladies. You know, he's a ladies man. He loves to put on a show for the ladies, right? He's a heart. You know, he's a heart drop.
How much of a ladies man he is now.
And yeah, so you know, I never had to deal with. I know a few dogs I've been around. They really start getting the pump and going before they've been cut. And he never really did that. So I'm proud of my guy. But yeah.
Consent right. matters to happy.
We also do need to thank Fiddler's Green, Chris Lamb, for their support of the show as well. I teed Joey up there before we had finished the thank yous, which is a very important portion of this program. And of course, the merch, all the link is up there on the link tree. Zach dropped in the Facebook notes, or you can jump on bosshoggerliberty.com and pick that up there. So our guy Joey is back, and I think this is the first time we've had you in studio. We had you as a guest at Mid Ohio for just a moment in the camper cast.
Uh-huh.
But you have fallen in love with the world of motorsports, and it has hugged you back hard. It's been a big 6 months.
Big time. Yes, it is. 2021 has been, you know, like I just followed up. It's been the year of the dog with Happy, but and more, you know, even more so, it's been the year of motorsports, and I'm incredibly happy about it. I love it. It is something that I look forward to now. You know, we're
NASCAR just wrapped up, and you know we're kind of in the off season now fully. So
we got IMSA.
Well, I'm not fully all the way into everything yet. You know what I mean? Yep. But I was watching the last few NASCAR races down the chase of the championship. I watched on Sunday while we were in Pittsburgh. I made my family watch, even though there was NFL going on, but it was the Packers and Jordan Love against the Chiefs. It was a really crappy game.
So we
had a great time watching. Watching Kyle Larson all come around and do his thing there. But yeah, dude, it's been the best, and I cannot wait until February 2022, man, and get both NASCAR and IndyCar out there going, ready to roll.
So as you're jonesing for more racing, mm-hmm. I will say that there are like three or four really big sports car races on the IMSA calendar mm-hmm. a year.
I think Rossi's doing one.
And that's it. That's what this one is. So in February, they'll have the 24 Hours of Daytona, mm-hmm. but they finish the year after everybody else. So it's Road Atlanta this weekend, and Rossi's in it with Wayne Taylor Racing. Simon Pagenaud's in the race. Jordan Taylor, who I think you've become a little bit familiar with.
Yes.
The funny guy on the social media. You'll have Mike Conway, who's an old IndyCar guy.
Simon
Pagenaud, Jimmy Johnson. Is Elio in it? I don't know if he's still running.
Okay.
So Sebastian Bourdais. You've got
a lot of guys
that have Ryan Hunter Ray is normally in this race as well.
Very good.
So you'll see a lot of IndyCar, Indy 500 starters, former Indy 500 racers that are in the series. So
you know what was one of my favorite ones too over the summer, and you know a lot of this really comes from you, Jeremiah. So again, props to you for being the guy that I lean on to teach me to show me the way. But SRX too, dude.
Oh yeah,
the SRX. I loved that. I thought it was a blast, and I can't wait for that one. That is an awesome series.
And that was nice and tidy. That was, you know, prime time, summertime, 6 weeks in a row.
Right.
Didn't take a lot of effort to know. You just jumped in.
Nope.
It was like the seniors tour of golf.
Okay.
It's names you know, and it was easy in, easy out.
But then you come in, you throw, you know, Chase Elliott's racing his dad, and you know, I mean, you got Marco, and I mean, I loved it. It was fantastic.
Yep. But you got names from people. Willie T. Ribbs is in it.
This year,
our boy Mason over here, thanks to his Netflix documentary, became a huge Willie T. fan.
Love Willie T.
Got a few cool merchandise items about Willie T., right?
For sure.
There you go. Nice.
So you have started a podcast.
I have.
With Connor Daly.
You've got
officially six episodes in.
Yes.
I think there were some preseason.
Uh-huh.
But there's six big ones out there.
Yep.
It's Speed Street.
Yeah.
And you got a logo from the guys over at the shop.
Yes.
And I got my shop t-shirt on. I got my brand new breaking out Beautiful. My Alex Palou IndyCar champion t-shirt.
Love it.
But
the old number 10 ride.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Dario brought it to greatness. Dan Weldon was awesome in the 10 car.
Yes, sir.
Now my boy Alex is winning in it. So it's incredible.
Yeah, dude. So me and Connor, you nailed it. We've been doing this since the summer, and really the hardest part of all of it wasn't, you know, coming up with how we were going to do the show or kind of the chemistry about it or anything. It was just finding a name. I mean, I we went back and forth on easily almost 3 months of what it was going to be. Probably at least 25 different options were thrown out on the table. And then finally we just like landed on Speed Street because we were like, yeah, you know, you want to come on down Speed Street. You want to live on Speed Street. Like it encapsulates all forms of motorsports, because even though Connor is an IndyCar driver and I am mostly an IndyCar fan, we do cover F1. We cover NASCAR. We talk about all sorts of that stuff. So I finally landed on a name, dude. And it's been a lot of fun. Connor and I have been friends for a little bit. You know what I mean? So it makes it easier to be able to hop in the studio and just kind of have his personality, my personality, his experience and knowledge in IndyCar and all forms of racing, and we just have a lot of fun.
And Connor's got a big appreciation for the history of it as well. You guys do something really cool at the end of the show every week where you go back and you dig up a name of somebody that even I, as the super fan, you know, fan, I don't have.
Sure.
I don't
know you who and this, Zach. It'd be a
these
nice
guys
challenge
in the 70s and 80s. They're rough names to know.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of Stan Waddles until the podcast. Yeah, and he's come up he's becoming a regular.
Yeah, so that's what we do. It's called because our first one was Ricky Treadway, and then actually because of that, my father-in-law, he's my wife's stepdad, but he knows Ricky Treadway, and so he told us a story about how Ricky is just his character, crazy party guy.
Was he Treadway Racing? Is that the dad, Zach? Or
I believe so. Yeah,
because was Ari Allendyke won his second Indy 500 was with Treadway.
Yes, exactly. And so from that point on, we just dubbed it, you know, it's just, that's his. It's a memorial Ricky Treadway Racer of the Week.
Who's not dead.
And who's not dead? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoops. An honor, I should say, of him.
It's funnier when you say a memorial. Yeah. His career is over. It's
well, we thought it was hilarious that he was on the small claims court show, you know, like a Judge Judy type of thing. And apparently Ricky had paid for his girlfriend to get a breast implants. And then they broke up. And then Ricky wanted the money back for the breast implants, and he won the case. So me and Connor thought that was hilarious. Wow, so we're like, we got to give props to Ricky Treadway there.
Yeah.
So we do that at the end of every show, and we try to make it very, you know, listener interactive. We do question and, you know, kind of Q&A each week. And then other than that, we just talk about what's going on in the world of racing. So right now is a fun time for it because the off season, we just get to kind of fly around and, you know, talk about a whole bunch of different stuff. It'd be interesting to see once, you know, February, March come around of next year, and especially May, you know what I mean, to see how we kind of balance covering the racing itself, but then still kind of staying true to us and just kind of having fun and BSing. And
well, if people learn nothing else from this show, then now they at least know that breast implants are a zero-risk investment.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, right, right. I mean, it's a win-win, you know? I guess it could depend on which judge you get, but yeah. So shout out Ricky Treadway.
So I Googled him. I think that you can see the implants in question, like in the picture that comes up on Google. But I think he kind of is indicating through his websites that
if you'll drop that link in the Patreon, I think listeners will appreciate
Google
it.
Just Google Ricky Treadway, and it shows like four pictures, and you won't miss it. Like, it's, but he's kind of indicating that like he is Ricky Bobby.
Yes.
That Ricky Bobby is based off of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what Shannon, my father-in-law, told me. He was like, I think that's actually what they call him, is Ricky Bobby. And because I think he kind of just encapsulates, I think I just combined two words there. But I think he's supposed to be everything that Ricky Bobby is, but in real life.
Yep. His dad was Fred Treadway, who owned Treadway Racing. And Treadway was really good in the early IRL era.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He was just born in 1970, so like he's not
really he's not an old guy.
No.
He's still he's Elio's age, basically.
51.
It's just careers went two different directions.
We were talking about him, and I was thinking, in my mind, I thought like I had envisioned like a 76-year-old man. Yeah, on a like Judge Judy type show, arguing over breast implants, and that was really funny to me in my head. But you know, a Ricky Bobby type 51-year-old guy—that's about that's just as funny. I think
there you go.
It's perfect,
right?
And I know that your show's in its infancy, but one of my favorite moments already is the Meyer-Shank Busch Light story that you told. That our guy, little wall connection here, Aaron Ewert, was with all of us at Mid-Ohio.
Oh yeah,
and he got. He got Jack Harvey to go in and pull Mike Shank out of the trailer, and he got the Busch Light can signed.
Sure did, yeah. So that's, again, like I said, very listener heavy towards the second half of our show. So you have the opportunity to, you know, chime in a question and you know get on the show. And one of the questions was, which IndyCar owner do you think drinks the most beer? And Connor didn't really have an answer. And I said, oh, Mila. I was like, it's got to be Shank. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I said, Aaron, our buddy, he got the Busch Light can signed. And I think, and then Meyer-Shank Racing actually tweeted back at us the picture of Elio and Mike Shank. And Shank was holding the Busch Light can moments after Elio won the Indy 500. Yeah,
on the grid.
On the grid. Yeah, so that was my answer easily because of that story. And, man, what a ballsy move by Aaron there to, you know, just bring the Busch Light can and put it on him. And I like that about Shank, you know, having a little fun with it and interacting. So easy answer there, but what a story.
I tell Spangle all the time he's got to listen to us. He was early in May. I think you were with me, Zach. Spangle was doing some interviews with Bob and Tom, first weekend, qualifying weekend.
Yeah.
And he was going to have some time with Elio. And I'm like, you need to go talk to Elio about Michael Shank and Busch Light. It's a big thing. It's a thing. He's like, he thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, you know, it blew up.
He was getting cases delivered to his house.
By the local Busch Light people.
Pallets delivered to the shop.
Yeah, when I Googled it, that was like the third... That was like the third picture. It's just his front porch, which is cases on cases of Busch Light.
Yeah. I think somebody like snuck up, got to him, and like shoved a beer in his back pocket after the 500, so he had one. They're like, here you go.
And like, on so, brand, man.
Yeah.
Gotta take advantage.
He just talks about he wants to be able to get a beer done. He wants something he can drink. He doesn't have to worry about it being too heavy.
He's Hell like, yeah.
I get that. That's why I've switched to the Miller Lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very Penske guy. That's a Penske sponsor. So Miller Lite is that's fine for you. Meanwhile, I'm hitting the hard liquor over here.
Say, dang,
pouring the Benchmark in the cheapest Buffalo Trace available.
That's all right.
It's all
speaking
good.
Of Mid-Ohio, over the summer, I had multiple mixed beverages over in one of the Boss Hog of Liberty Tervises that is available right there that you're drinking out of. So actually, I don't know if they're available anymore, but I had them when I was there, and they were fantastic.
It's the good stuff. There's the Dainty Daisy is taking
my
orders.
My wife makes it.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. My favorite Mid-Ohio story I've been telling at Joey's expense all summer long.
Oh, boy.
And it's Joey and his long, luxurious showers with the old hair and how we went through 100 gallons of water at the race. And I was so moderately irritated. I love you. But I was like, we've gone through so much water that I made Joey help me steal water from the driver's motor coach lot the last night.
Yeah. And my hair was, I had cut it at that point.
No, you cut it like the next week.
You cut it the next week.
Yeah. No. I know. Yes. So it was bad timing on that end, but it was a lot longer even than when it was when we were Mid-Ohio.
Really?
Remember, because I got a trim. So it was like almost to my nipples damn near. And then in May, I cut it to be just above my shoulders.
Oh, okay.
So it could have been worse.
Could have been worse. Could have gone through 120 gallons.
Could have been worse. And we did. And I was celebrating Joseph Newgarden's win because he finally got over the hump. And so I was very intoxicated trying to help you with these water jugs.
It was a memory I'll carry with me for the rest of my life.
We had people. Somebody was talking to us about.
It was the guy in charge of security at that point.
Oh, yeah, came over, right.
And he was like, "You're going to reconnect that, right?" I'm like, "Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It'll be fine.
That's right.
It'll be fine."
I thought you were going to tell the story about how I had fallen asleep outside in front of the motorhome, and a few people came by, wanted to have a beer with me, and I was already passed out inside. And you were like, "Joey's in no shape to do that." That was also a good memory.
That was a fun weekend. I'm looking forward.
To go back. I loved Mid-Ohio.
So about that time, you penned what I called a love letter to IndyCar, and it got a lot of run from the. And I think that's when the IndyCar embraced you back, and the motorsports world embraced you back.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Because
in May you were still a pretty casual fan, but it took a month or two, and you were like, "I'm in." You were all in at that point.
Yes, and that was a common question that I would get. Not only out at the track or in the media center or wherever, those 2 months leading up to before I wrote it, it was just kind of like, "Oh yeah, like how'd you get into it?" Or people online would be like, "Oh, you're an IndyCar fan?" Like, and so I just felt like I'm going to use, the Barstool Sports where I can blog and, again, kind of pin this longer form letter of, how it happened, how I just, I've grown up in Indy, and then just over this last year, all of a sudden really went from being a casual fan, somebody who just was out there because I had to, out of necessity for my job, to being somebody who wanted to be out there, who fell in love with the atmosphere, the scene, not just the Indy 500, but the series as a whole, the drivers, everything about it. I
felt like I didn't write it to get run. I wrote it because I just wanted people, one, out of appreciation for the sport, but two, I wanted just people to be able to have something to go to say, "Oh, this, I can get an explanation out of that." So the reaction that I got out of it with, Doug Bowles commenting on it and a few people from IMS and different drivers and everything, it really blew me away. And I was, incredibly happy and thankful, but I got that kind of a reaction, because very easily people could have been like, "You're a new guy, whatever, get out of here." But I think people embraced it pretty well.
How do we win over a guy like Dakota, though? That's the trick. How do you break this?
What have you been to?
The Brickyard 400.
So how long have you been to the Indy 500?
No.
Why?
He actually refuses to go. I don't refuse to go.
Who was it?
Busy. Cade. Maybe it was. No, it was Chris. I take that back. It was Chris. He said, "I'm going one time only. Don't ever ask me again."
I bought tickets 1 year, and then so we have a permanent campsite at a campground in Brookville,
And every year...
That's your Memorial Day tradition.
Yeah, on Memorial Day, there's a golf cart poker run. And people set up like these big stops, like a poker run. And they serve like food and jello shots. And then there's a huge party and a dance at the end. So it's like, that is what, that's what I'm doing on Memorial Day every year. And I bought tickets one year and we were down there and we were going to drive to Jeremiah's house and meet him in the morning and then go. And like, the more I thought about it during the day, I was like, I would just rather be here. Like, I would rather do this thing that I enjoy a lot than wake up super early in the morning and then get drunk in the middle of the day and then feel like crap later.
I think maybe what we need to do then is get
and now
you out
I have
there.
A toddler, so it's even more.
We got to get you out there for a family day, a practice day, or the GP day, something sure. like that. Maybe not the 500 experience, but just get your toe in the water.
The GP, the music, the, you go qualifying, the, yeah, maybe yeah, even
go up pole day,
fun.
Bump day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's you saw how Zach does it with his kids, and you've got your kids up in the you've had them since they were barely not even walking, Zach, up there in turn one.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
or out on the mounds.
Take them to turn three in the grass mounds, and you let them run around while the cars go around.
Well, I feel like as a native Hoosier, I totally understand it and see where you're coming from about having that tradition that you typically do and have done and enjoy. But I do feel like as a native Hoosier, you kind of owe it to yourself to at least. Get
I feel
out
like
there.
I needed to go like 1 year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, see, you got at least, you know, at that point, go into it without any preconceived resentment or just go into it. Be like, you know what? This is super cool. This is a historic event. This is something that happens in my home state that is, you know, a worldwide event. And then you go into it. And then if you come out and you're like, I'd rather be at Brooksville. That's fine. But I think you at least owe it to yourself to get out there. Or
you got to enjoy it. I'm not going to say that I don't think I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because I really do think I would have fun.
There's two different sides of that whole experience, though.
Yeah.
Try to go to one that's not the fun. You know, maybe Mid-Ohio is pretty dang...
It's pretty easy.
Pretty easy, and I mean, just as much, if not more fun. Yeah, I know,
it's a different experience.
It's a different experience, but yes.
Or Joey, you're a lightning chaotic. Rod. Be careful.
Yeah.
We learned a lesson last week.
Yeah.
Or right. Anyone more chaotic and just drive down south 5.5 hours to Nashville.
Go to Nashville
and that's
don't
a
do
shit
that.
Show.
Don't do that.
Nashville is a big party.
It's with a big race. Event,
but it is not the relaxed atmosphere of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway or Mid-Ohio.
No. I would say go to Mid-Ohio.
Nashville is always just a big party.
It is.
Right.
It is.
That's just that city.
But Indy, it's like you got two experiences. It's either you enjoy why you are there, which I'm into now. My first time I went, I was like, I just want to really get like shit faced.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people like that around that age are
you
like,
met Quinn Nelson at
you met
our
Quinn
trail
Nelson,
game.
Watch Victor Oladipo walk around, you know? So it's like, so my first experience was like, yeah, I'm going to go party, leave it. 3:30 in the morning and go wait in line, go start drinking at 9 a.m. And then now it's like, I kind of just want to sit and watch the race.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to sit.
You've seen both sides of it.
A couple beers. So.
And you can get cool hats like this one that I'm currently wearing at Mid-Ohio. Bought this.
You got your Mario Andretti?
Andretti.
Is that his Arrivederci tour?
Arrivederci tour.
1994. Man.
Yep. That's a sweet hat.
It is. Thank you. And I got it at Mid-Ohio.
Gonna have to get that signed.
Yeah, I hope.
You definitely need to get that signed.
But then I don't know. I see, and then I'm like,
then you won't want to wear it.
Well, yeah, I'd love this hat. And I'd love to wear it. And so I'd be like, I'd feel bad, you know, but we'll see. Little Papa Mario.
We've got some Mid-Ohio merch over there on the shelf, I think, somewhere. Is our Will Power winning visor signed by Will to BHOL.
So you've talked about IMS. You've talked about Mid-Ohio. You've talked about Nashville. Now, what is the NASCAR race that you've been to?
Yeah, so my wife and I went to the Roval down there in Charlotte, and had a blast. It was great. It was not, we were there through NASCAR, so they kind of hooked us up in a bougie sense to where like we weren't in the infield or having your traditional kind of typical NASCAR experience.
You were hanging out with James Bond.
Hanging out is a very loose term. We were. We were, well, I guess we were literally like hanging around him. You know, he was about from me to Mason or me to Zach a handful of occasions. But
which James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
How many people were in between you and Daniel Craig?
Oh, that's the thing. Is
like, I heard he had like an entourage.
Oh, he had an entire team of security and entourage, you know. But everybody that I talked to who talked to him, you know, like the employees at the track and like Corey LaJoie and a few people, they were like, he was super great guy. You know, he was really, really nice, which is cool. But the Roval was sweet. I mean, a lot of people there are very prideful about the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
They love their Oval. It's a historic.
They love their
'60s.
Absolutely. But, you know, they would, you know, oh, well, how's this pit up against Indy? You know, how's this against IMS? I'm like, look, it's not, I'm not saying anything against IMS, right? Like, you guys do a great job here. This is a super, super cool environment. I appreciate it. But, like, you're not going to get me to go on record and be like, oh, yeah, this is better than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Like, it's just not going to happen. But it was awesome. I mean, the race was interesting. There was some drama. You had Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin kind of going back and forth, and got to see Sage Karam race in the Xfinity series. So that was great. And you know, he had free food the whole time while doing it. So can't complain about
that. I'm a big Corey LaJoie fan as well.
He's a great guy.
When the IndyCars and NASCARs were together for the weekend in August.
Uh-huh.
Is it August? Zach,
yes.
Kelly, I remember.
Yes, it was.
Joey was there. I saw Joey and I ran into each other in the hotter than the sun IndyCar paddock. And Joey had the one little bit of shade underneath one of the video boards. I was like, dude, you're smart standing right here.
It was smoking that weekend. Yeah. But Corey.
But Corey, yeah, I ran across Corey there, stopped. He was just walking like a regular guy in an hour before cup practice. And I'm like, I got to get a picture. I was a fan of his dad's. His dad was not the most popular Busch Series driver, the Xfinity driver back
then.
Yeah,
okay.
But he's a hardworking guy. They've made the seats. His family makes the racing seats that most of those guys sit in.
Oh, okay.
They all run in a LaJoie racing seat.
Very nice.
And I think, at least as of a year ago, Corey was still working in the factory during the week. And on the weekends, he was doing the Spire Cup thing, like running the Cup Series.
Love it.
But he's as much of a guy as anybody else. So
he's
rags to riches kind of deal.
Super good dude. Got to chat with him. That's up on my YouTube channel. You can check that out. Really fun conversation with Corey. And yeah, he's just a down to earth, super, you know, that's one thing that helped me fall in love with all of it as well, is just every driver that I've come across. You know, I know there's a few out there that are probably just assholes.
You haven't interviewed Santino Ferrucci yet.
Right. But nor do I want to. But you know,
probably not after this week's episode of.
But everybody I've come across, they're just so, you know, down to earth and cool and down to have a good time. And a lot of different avenues where I've interviewed people, whether it be, you know, I've been really lucky to talk to NFL players and NBA guys and, you know, just these different athletes. And a lot of times it just be kind of like talking to a brick wall. You know, there's not a lot there. You got to kind of pull teeth. All the drivers are just, yeah, let's do this segment. Let's do this bit. Let's eat donuts. Let's have fun. And I just love them.
I think that's the culture of motorsports in general.
Yeah.
Is that they're all representing a brand. They're all trying to connect. And they realize that the media is the connection to the fans. That's the way it happens.
Yeah, it's been great. And then like that night at Roval, I was Cole Swindell, a good buddy of mine. He was parked there in the middle of the end of his tour. And we went out to his bus. And Martin Truex was out there and Ryan Blaney, and talked with Chase Elliott for a little bit. And just super down to earth guys, just wanting to have a beer and, you know, watch a little football and just hang with the boys, you know. So can't ask for much more than that.
Uh-oh. I think we owe money, Zach. Speaking of Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin, we had a bet last week. Who was the big winner?
Oh, I don't remember. I got to find my notes.
You looked it up. I'm going to give you that assignment. We had a bet on the show, and I think Dakota might have won. Son of a bitch. He doesn't remember.
He don't even know motorsports. And
Dakota, you owe each of us $15.
I only know that I picked the one name on the list of drivers that I recognize.
I think you won with Kyle Larson. I'm 90% sure.
Old Lurkin Larson, man. The guy's always ready to strike. He's always coming about.
COVID has been unique for him.
It has.
So the last IndyCar thing I wanted to get into with you real quick is the T-shirt I'm wearing, Alex Plow, the IndyCar champion.
Yeah.
You got to do the media tour, the next the big coming back to IMS deal with Alex, and he got famous for saying that he eats fried chicken after he wins a race. Dakota's like, yes, he won. He figured this out. Nice. you and Alex and I guess a film crew from IMS,
they rented the chicken limo.
Yeah.
And you got to take some laps at the Speedway.
We did. It was super. It was an honor to be asked to go ride around with them. And so I spent the afternoon with him and his lovely girlfriend and a few people from his team, a few people from the IMS team, and you know, chatted with them in the chicken limo from Ganassi headquarters down to the Speedway, get to the Speedway, get Pillow taking that thing around the oval. He did a few laps on the road course as well.
Is he going 100? How fast is he going?
I forget how fast.
It's like an old Lincoln. It's not pristine new looking.
I think like 55.
How's the chicken limo 60. Handle on the road course?
It was interesting. I was definitely getting car sick in the back seat. I don't handle being in the back seat, so I'm in the very back of a chicken limo. And by the way, the air conditioning was broke, and then you're you know, whipping it around. I was more than ready to get out and more than ready to go to the Eagle to have some
celebratory
fried
chicken.
I'm going
to be honest, if you had thrown up, that would have been great content.
I know. I was.
They would have definitely used that.
I was debating it, you know, because content is king and it always comes first.
And then they're like, "Yeah, Joey, you owe us $500 for cleaning out the back of the chicken limo."
Right. And I just, I don't know. I didn't want to feel like crap all day after puking and whatnot. So, but yeah, then we went to the Eagle. We had a great conversation over some fried chicken, and they chopped up like a little 3-minute video. I wish they would have done more. I reached out to them. I was like, we easily could have gotten like a 20 to 25 minute episode out of that just from all the conversation that we had. So still waiting to hear back, IMS. But Alex is great, man. He's such a nice guy. You know, he's like a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the happiest IndyCar driver I've ever met.
Yeah. He's after that nonsense with Renus in St. Louis, he didn't even say a bad thing about him. It was crazy.
He should have.
Yeah. I mean, just I a classic. Like, it would... wouldn't say shit if his mouth was full of it. I mean, that nothing describes him better than that. But it was just like surreal. You're riding around IMS. One, to be riding around IMS, but then when you look and you realize you have a giant chicken clucking on the top of you while you're doing that is, you know, I had to wonder if they had to make sure that Mr. Penske didn't see that. But it was hell of a time.
Yeah, the Morrell family has become big fans of Mr.
You
Alex
guys Pillow. Have, man. That's your guy.
We embraced him early before he was anybody. We got in like at the you know, like lifelong Alex Pillow fans now. It's like the Steelers with you. You're in no matter what, high, low. There's not been a lot of lows as a Steelers fan.
No.
But you know, even on the 7 and 9 years, you're still there and you're representing.
Well, we haven't been 7 and 9. We haven't been less than 500 since 2003. So
really?
Correct.
Well, that's why Tomlin's never been fired.
Tomlin air is coming to an end though.
You think?
15 years. The last two were there for 15 years. It's coming to the end.
Well, we'll see.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's been in New England since 2000. So it's
going to
be a long
lifelong
time.
Patriot. Pretty he wild. Has to leave. They won't send him away.
Wow. Yeah. So it's I like it. I'm happy that you guys are Pillow folks. You know, I still haven't locked down my driver per se. I don't really want
to. I don't
lock
think you
down
have to.
One.
Yeah. And honestly, we're big fans of Alex, but. There's very few that you're like, oh, no, not that guy. Somebody will ask who's your favorite driver, and it's always, I love a good storyline. I want to see teams win that don't normally win, mm-hmm. and you want to see really good racing. So
there's been one person I just never really liked, and now I don't really have to worry about him, but it was definitely Oliver Askew. It's not a fan.
That's it. Anything happen, or you just...
No, just really did not like him.
That's all right.
Nothing big.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. That's the way Zach feels about Charlie Kimball.
So
who?
See, you got Askew, you got Kimball, I got Ferrucci. Yeah, all got our guys.
Everybody's got somebody. They're like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's all right. But that's the thing is like, you know, like you said, Jeremiah. It's like as long as it's just a fairly clean, competitive, entertaining race.
You want it to
you
be just fun, want
to, right?
You want to see.
Don't want a bunch of yellow. You know.
You want to see some David versus Goliath when people will talk about it. And it's I know it's way before your time, but Roger Penske's team missing the Indy 500 was the story of a 20-year period.
Well, now knowing what I know, I can believe it. You know, I mean, it's like I know his other guys were in there, but like Will Power was. He had to go on bump day.
He barely made it in.
And so I remember that being big. So.
And the closest thing to that in this current era of the DW12, IR18, or whatever the hell you want to call it, was Hoonkos knocking out McLaren.
Yes. Right?
When they came in with Fernando Alonso.
Yep.
And those are the kinds of stories that propel the series forward.
And bringing that full circle, the driver of that Yunkos car was Kyle Kaiser. Kyle Kaiser was the driver of me and the two-seater that I did the day before the 500. So there you go.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and to go even more full circle, in Nashville, you came this close to getting to run.
Yeah.
But it was a failure. And that was the day Mario crashed the car.
Mario crashed it later that night.
Allegedly. Somebody crashed one. I don't know if there's been rumors out there. Maybe it wasn't Mario.
Yeah. But about 8 minutes before I was supposed to get in line, I was yakking projectile in the in the porta potty. I had to run away from a conversation with Connor Daly and Beth Bowles so I didn't puke in their face. But Nashville, so it was kind of good that I didn't.
That wouldn't have happened in Mid-Ohio. Well, no. It might have happened Sunday night at Mid-Ohio.
Right.
But that was just a that's the Dakota. Don't go to Nashville. If you want to have just a chill weekend.
You would never go to Nashville.
That's the only weekend I didn't. For I've been like, to Nashville.
I'm just
going to
hang out.
It's the only weekend you've been in Nashville and not puked.
Yep.
Boy, you're maturing.
Man. I know.
That's good. Yeah, I'm proud of you,
good
Mason.
Good for you.
I'm
working on it. I mean, that was like the bender of benders. I was.
Yeah, you were on one.
Which is Thursday night. We were tin roofing it. All
we did
down there.
Tin roof twice in a weekend.
Yeah.
Our favorite producer on the West Coast, Thim Durham.
Uh-huh. Yep. Thim, your new buddy Jake. Yep. My old buddy Jake Rose was there.
Of Espen.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big fan of Jake. I talk to Jake all the time. I really enjoy
Jake. He's a great guy. Yeah. But, I mean, we went straight from the Sirius XM event with Off Track to tin roof. It was crazy.
And we bounced around.
Got White Castle later that night somehow. Yeah. What a night. What a weekend.
It's definitely fun. We'll see if I can get off the carpet and make it back down there again next year. So speaking of that, the red carpet was rolled out for you by the Steelers, and you had your first NFL suite experience this weekend.
I did. Yeah. So
on Monday Night Football.
That has been really surreal over the last couple of years. I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan my whole life. It's like a religion in my family. It's a very big deal. Like I have a tattoo for the Steelers, all six of their Super Bowl titles on my left forearm. Now I'm good buddies with quite a few of the players and the people inside the organization I have relationships with. And now I get asked to like be in different promotional videos for them and stuff like that. And then, it's really, really is a surreal thing to be able to.
You're going to have to get the private jet Pittsburgh Indy going for you.
To be able to go to them and be like, hey, you know, if I get two tickets to Monday night game, they're like, oh, absolutely. And they set my parents up with seats at the 50-yard line in the club level. I mean,
amazing.
For my dad, like, you know, it's the best thing that I've ever done for him. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about the Steelers. Like, it's just obviously very historic, very well-run franchise, a lot of tradition, and they treat us well, man. So I don't really have a whole lot bad to say. And yes, they've won four straight games. So right now is not a great time to be talking bad about them because they've been looking good. But
Our boy Chase Payton was privately messaging me going, when the Bears beat the hell out of the Steelers, I'm going to have so much fun. And then the refs put on black and yellow jerseys last weekend, and it didn't. Quarter was rough for the Bears.
Did you see? I mean, did you see what Cassius Marsh did? I thought it was a disgusting act. I thought it was very, very abhorrent that he would have that kind of behavior on a field. I mean, there's kids watching, for God's sakes. What are we doing, guys? So you can talk all you want, but that was just absolutely disgusting behavior.
There was one drive where the Bears had, I think, two late hits on their quarterback, and then there was some 15-yard penalty on a chop block that the guy never even contacted the dude.
Yeah,
and I'm a Colts fan. Whatever, I don't care. But it was painful.
I'm a fan of the 4-5 Colts.
Yeah. You're a season ticket holder.
I'm a stock.
All I know is that the AFC is going to have like 12 teams that are within a game of each other at the end of the year, and who the hell knows how any of it's going to shake out. The
NFL smiling big time.
Yeah,
that's exactly everybody what they want.
Every single market thinks they're in it until the end.
Yep.
So it's good. It's good for them.
And truthfully, most
except
of
for
them
Cleveland, because they're back in last place where they belong. So yeah,
you got the Jags. You're out of contention. You've got the Jets out of contention.
The Jags, Dolphins, Jets, and I think that's it. And the Titans, we don't know if they're going to be good or not. And then somehow, inexplicably, the Raiders
are hanging
still
on to life
in there
with,
yeah.
with
Holtz
a,
or
with
somehow
a,
still in there.
With
so,
a guy that's going to do jail time that's gone and a coach that had to quit and a scandal that came through.
Well, did you see their most recent? One of their other first round picks from last year was on Instagram Live with a, looked like a Tommy gun that was just threatening to kill a bunch of MFs. And so they cut him.
Yeah, they cut him.
That doesn't fly over well with the employer.
There's only one person from last year's draft that is playing for them now.
Mike Mayock is going to be back on television soon.
I saw that.
But they're winning, so who the hell knows? Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you can't say too much. But we talked about the Raiders last week on the show as well. Dakota, are you ready to talk about some F1?
Sure. I did see this story. I thought it was interesting. We'll just read the quote that you put in the show notes. A Formula One source confirmed to, is it Reuters?
Reuters.
Are you sure?
Is it really Reuters?
It's been Reuters my whole life.
No shit.
But you lived in New York. We've had these kind of
the land of culture.
But this New York isn't the kind of New York thing.
He's from the north of these. He's from the north United country. States.
I will say that broadcasting expert Rush Limbaugh, throughout his entire career, said Reuters. But you can tell me whatever you want to say. I'm going to go with Rush.
That is just spelled Reuters.
How's it spelled?
Reuters?
R-E-U-T-E-R-S.
If you're in the chat,
Reuters.
If you're in the chat, let us know if it's Reuters. I think it's Reuters.
I believe it's Reuters, but it's spelled. I mean, that is, it's Reuters.
Zach, do you have an opinion?
I've always heard it as Reuters.
Boom!
Dang.
Reuters. Yeah, just got destroyed.
if I looked it up online, anyway. It's the pronunciation is R-O-Y-T-R-Z.
Yep.
Huh. Freaking New Yorkers.
My friend, her last name is that. So that's how I know.
R-E-U. Why is
back
that
to Dakota. Because it's a name.
Okay. Bodyguards will no longer be allowed due to space limitations and COVID-19 restrictions, but also said celebrities would not be obliged to give interviews. Brundle told his viewers on Sunday that new rules had been introduced and referred to a Brundle Clause.
As the Brundle Clause.
And this is something that we talked about, what was that, a couple weeks ago now?
Yeah, this has been, Joey's covered it on Speed Street. Yep. You and I and Zach have been talking about this story. This is all going back to the F1 race in Austin, Texas. And Martin Brundle he's talking to celebrities. Apparently this is the grid walk that he's done for quite some time. The late Robin Miller used to do it in IndyCar, and the same thing. And you go down the line and you talk to people and you get a quick quote. And he found Megan.
Meg the Stallion.
Meg the Stallion.
Yes.
And he put a quarter in the jukebox and said, can you rap for me? Mm-hmm. Which was hilarious.
Yep.
But her posse said, get the hell out of here, old man. Who are you? And now F1 has said, nope, you don't get bodyguards anymore.
Well, the best part was one, her security guard guy did not look like a security, you think like a security guard dude, it's going to be like 6'5", ripped, like just looks like the meanest dude. This guy was like probably shorter than me, had red hair, was British. And it was like,
it's the best the Brits had.
And I believe what he said. He's like, yeah, you can't do that. And Brundle was just like, well, I can because I did. Because I just did. That was it. Like such a mic drop moment.
At first, whenever I saw like the little bullet point that Jeremiah put in the show notes where it just said F1 banned bodyguards, I'm like, I was thinking that there were drivers that had bodyguards.
Oh, they do.
And they were taking them away. They do? Like, bodyguards are pretty, bodyguards, the drivers are all pretty jacked guys anyway.
But they're tiny.
They are small.
They don't want, F1 is the most exclusive, and Joey and I have had this conversation about how open the IndyCar paddock is, and how you can go up to Joseph Newgarden and talk to him, but there's no way in hell you're getting close to Aaron Rodgers. It's just as bad in F1.
Really? Because I haven't told you yet, but I started Drive to Survive finally.
Yep.
Like three episodes in. And I mean... It looked like
you'll see some familiar faces.
It looked like Daniel Ricciardo. You know, he was like, people were getting up to him, and now is it just kind of like at the leisure of the driver? Like if Daniel Ricciardo wants to be more of a
sociable,
you'll
never get to him on race weekend.
Okay,
all right, but a lot of before Drive to Survive is probably going to kill this, but a lot of those guys would come to the U.S. to get away because they can't go to London or Belgium or the south of France. And be a regular guy.
Because they're so. Okay.
But they could go to LA, they could go to Miami, and they blend in.
Michael Schumacher would get a Harley and ride across the country.
Interesting.
Around the United States.
Interesting.
I've always thought it's super interesting what other sports, like different countries, find interesting. Like this world of strongman, like World's Strongest Man, is like a huge deal in Great Britain. Like Eddie Hall, who is the 2017 World's Strongest Man. I was watching a documentary about strongman, and like no one here follows strongman at all. But like Eddie Hall, 2017 World's Strongest Man, he's walking down the street, and it was the documentary was filmed in 2019. He's walking down the street, and like people are just like, it's like if we saw Peyton Manning walking through Newcastle, and it's like, LaBeouf. Really?
Excellent job, Dakota or Mason. You get a high five. Congratulations.
That you win today.
Shia LaBeouf randomly walked around Newcastle one day.
What?
Yeah.
We chased him into a garden, the shitty garden inn down by Walmart, and he hid in there.
When? Okay.
This is years ago.
This is like four years ago. There's
multiple
years ago.
Stories.
It's like
to
2015.
It, right?
Yeah.
So post breakdown. Pre-breakdown?
Mid-breakdown. Home run phase.
Explain why he's in Newcastle. No offense, guys.
This is right after the Vine, was it? Just do it.
Okay, it's just middle of that.
Yeah, it's just right after that.
Wow.
And like, everyone's like on Facebook, Shia LaBeouf's walking through Newcastle. We're like, hell no, he's
we
not.
We just saw Shia LaBeouf.
He
just left Steak and Shake.
And we're like, people are pinpointing this dude. Oh, he just left this heading northbound on
all of a sudden it's the OJ chase.
It's the most efficient our Facebook groups
have ever been in the history of the community.
So they were saying his car broke down on 70. He's waiting on him to come pick it up. He started walking. And there's also this thing that he's doing like this cross country like walk. But I think it all intertwined. His car did break down on his way to his next destination on this cross country, whatever. But
and he thought, I'll just
Newcastle,
walk
Indiana.
Town.
Yeah. Stopped in at Cafe Royale. Over by Castle Point at the church right there behind the First Church of God.
My goodness.
I mean, our list of celebrities that this town gets is basically Shia LaBeouf.
That's
Rupert, who's battling cancer, by the way.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, throat cancer. And Joey Molinaro. So, I mean, that's the top three.
Wow, Shia LaBeouf, man.
It's too bad. Kim Benson. Okay.
Yeah, I said Kim Benson.
I've been seeing... run into the turkey.
Kim Benson's famous.
The turkey?
The Newcastle turkey.
We had a famous turkey for a while.
We kind of did a thing on the internet a few years ago.
We had a turkey.
This really is Parks and Recreation.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is a little Sebastian.
I've got to say this now. I've come into connections with somebody through concerts, and this girl's uncle is Nick Offerman.
What?
Yes.
Ron Swanson. Oh, wow.
Her uncle is Nick Offerman.
I love Nick Offerman.
That's hilarious.
Like, I'll sit and just watch
interviews. Well, I get thrown into this group with a bunch of people I know through Luke Combs, go to shows, whatever. We're talking, and then out of nowhere, this girl goes, yeah, my uncle's famous. And we're kind of like, we don't really care. Like, that's not something you really flaunt. Yeah. And she goes, you know, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. I said, don't tell me Nick Offerman is your uncle. She goes, how do you know his name? I'm like,
you just said he's famous. Obviously, yeah, I'm going to know his name.
I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, your uncle's Nick Offerman?
That's so cool.
And she's like, yeah, that's my mom's brother. I'm like,
Nick Offerman, diehard Chicago Cubs fan.
We're friends now.
We used to have the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness hanging in the studio.
Not anymore. I have it on a t-shirt.
So
somewhere.
We're friends.
It's framed still.
It's in the back of my truck. It's just never been hung. It's in the back of your truck. You know, it's like underneath the seat, underneath my like jumper cables and tow traps.
He doesn't carry the Bible. He doesn't carry a first aid kit, but he does have the Ron Swanson.
Swanson Pyramid.
What meme I don't ever, going back to your meme talk, Dakota, what meme I don't ever get tired of seeing every year on Facebook around 4th of July time. Is old Ron Swanson when they're over in London from that episode, and he's like, history began on July 4th, 1776. Everything else was a mistake. That's great. That's phenomenal.
He's so good. Jeremiah, you're so stressed about the Panama Canal. And you sent like eight messages in a row in the group chat. You sent like three pictures.
I was in breaking news story, man. I was researching. I had the thing. I figured it out before anybody else. Christmas is in trouble, and you need to know.
Yeah, and guess what? The solution's real simple. Just dig it wider.
They just did. They literally just
dig more.
Did.
They add a foot on each side.
They Panama Max is like 300 feet longer than it used to be.
Just
like
blow up that part of Panama water. And let it all happen.
So the
this isn't going to be a problem once global warming speeds up a little
and
bit.
And then they're all going to be floating right over.
Central America becomes another big
pump. Yeah. We'll have any of these issues.
So earlier this summer, there was a ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal.
Very big meme.
And it was a big problem.
Big trouble in the big, Suez.
It was very ugly. The ever given evergreen whatever was a problem. And we've had trouble getting stuff delivered for months, for nearly years now out of China. The ports are full. Everything's screwed
it's
up.
Gridlock.
It's like the highways are just clogged up. Mm-hmm. And it didn't occur to me, but the Panama Canal is like the North Split in Indianapolis. Everything goes through there, and it's caused a mess. So there was a cruise. The way I got tipped onto the story is that just before COVID happened, Sarah and I took a cruise on the Norwegian Encore. It's been up in the it's been doing these sailings out of Seattle up to Alaska, and now it's the winter time. So they take the ships and they bring them back around through to the Caribbean, and they do the Caribbean in the winter. So they were supposed to be. It was supposed to make the big switch over. They loaded up a bunch of passengers in Los Angeles, and they're making a Panama Canal journey coming across. And they were supposed to get to Miami this weekend, and new people are supposed to do their trip this week. So on Wednesday, they got to the Panama Canal, and the Panama Canal said, "We're full. We can't get you through."
Octopus so, out front should have told you.
So I'm like, "Oh my god!" So Norwegian sends a message out. And 4,000 people had their vacation canceled on 3 days' notice, saying that you don't get to go. Don't bother coming to Miami.
And there were 3,000 people on that boat calling their bosses.
And there's people that are that are not getting off the ship for days that should have been. And I looked, and if you look at my Facebook page, I did a little bit of research, and there's a picture of the Panama Canal, and then all of the ships around it. And it's just like
it doesn't look good.
Traffic is jammed. Nobody can go anywhere. There's like one or two cruise ships, but then there's just hundreds of dots that are all of these freighters.
Looks like you got chicken pox.
That are trying to go through. And then there's a bridge camera that is there from the Encore. And it's just as far as the eye can see, it's just ships sitting all full of containers of crap. And it's the reason why I figured out that I can't buy a cheap TV anymore because they're all sitting in the Panama Canal.
Damn.
You tried to buy shrimp recently?
No.
I went to buy shrimp today for my lunch, and the price was outrageous.
Just buy the canned shrimp. It's like a dollar.
I was just buying regular freaking frozen shrimp, dude. Like, I'm not buying fresh shrimp.
I think I bought some frozen shrimp. It was like $13 for a bag, which I probably used to be about $7.
Yes,
it's
like double the price. It's insane. You
know, I buy shrimps on two occasions. One,
bang, bang, shrimp done.
Olive Garden. And that's it. Just one prize.
On your
and
fancy dinners?
Two, yeah, very. When that's high end date. For my ass. And when it's bang bang shrimp night at the Potter household, and I always bring about 4 pounds too much. We can maybe eat 2 pounds. I bring like six.
But what was weird is that the little tiny salad shrimps.
The baby shrimps.
The baby
dollar
shrimps.
In a can.
They were super cheap still. So I'm like, how long have these been in the freezer? Like, no one's buying salad shrimpies, so they were just like, I guess we don't need to mark these up.
You could eat a whole bag of those.
Yeah, so I bought the gigantic bag of those.
Well, it is going to be interesting, though. Now, I think that now we're getting to the point where we're coming full circle as society. Everybody's got to get off their ass and go do the shopping for Christmas and not sit there and do Cyber Monday, you know, and rely on the internet to bring it to them. You got to do it old school, man. You got to go out there. You got to bump some elbows on Black Friday.
This might, well, right? If the stuff's in the store at all.
I was gonna say, I saw Walmart's Black Friday ad, and it's not impressive. It's not even worth getting off your ass.
That's where I was like, all right. So here's where this line of thinking came from. We're big campers. We did like 50 nights in the camper this year. The last weekend, TV's broken. The big TV in the living room of the camper is broken. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. I got a reason to go Black Friday shopping. I'm going to go get myself one of those $79 32-inch TVs. It's going to be perfect. I look in the ads, and there is no $79 TV.
And they're $150.
It's like $150
to $200. For a 32-inch.
And I'm like, holy crap, this is affecting me now. Now I'm pissed. And that's driven my content for the last week.
You know what? How much I paid for Kevin Libby's 32-inch? That's a normal price. I think it was $89. Wasn't
I have a TV in here?
It's just
yeah, that's worth hundreds.
$89
now.
Bucks.
I have a $64. That's appreciated TV in my camper. Like our second TV in our camper. Is
how many TVs have you had in your living room, Zach?
We're not going to talk about that.
All right, Jeremiah, tell me about Mayor Dennis Tyler.
All right. Yep, we're
so worried about Muncie. Even though no one cares about Muncie, they're doing their own thing. Man.
We did a whole episode about Muncie.
Is this a rivalry? Is it a rivalry?
It was annexed. I don't even want to
hear about Muncie.
We discussed a little bit on Muncie about how like Muncie had some crazy stuff going on. Like they just had their multiple people being indicted. They had a government official just ended up dead in his pond in the middle of town. And then
people in a freezer.
Some guy got battered in a fish restaurant because that's where you're going to get battered.
Steak City fish and chicken.
and then the next week, Newcastle's like, hold my beer. And
it went terribly wrong. Yeah. Martin Shields got arrested for dealing meth. It was a whole thing. Oh, the county attorney.
County attorney.
So I thought, you know what? We're going to pour salt in the wound. The sentencing happened this week. Former state representative and former Muncie mayor, Denny Tyler, has been sentenced. He had the ultimate attorney in Indiana defense. Jim Voiles was his guy, and he's still going to do a year in jail. So if he didn't have Jim Voiles, he'd probably sit there for 20 years.
For what? What did he do?
He took a bribe. Ah. $5,000 to make sure things got done. It was city sanitation and construction stuff.
That seems like it's a good thing, right?
Just slap a bracelet or an anklet on him, and
that's what Voiles wanted. That's what Voiles wanted.
If he's trying to be productive and get stuff going, what do you mean? You got to do a year for that?
It was the tip of the spear.
Listen,
man.
The money went right back into the
economy. Oh, were they trying to put him in there so he didn't go digging for more? Is that the kind of thing? Or where?
He said his number two is doing 5 years.
Oh.
So maybe 2 years.
He did the dog. Yeah. And then one of the other guys is the one that, with the pond incident that we were just.
His city, his street commissioner, they found him dead in his lake like a month ago. But that was no foul play. They said that was fine. So I don't
know. Said he was feeding the fish and fell in there.
Play. Yeah.
He fell in.
I don't know. It's so.
Why was there fall in the edge of a pond and you're like, guess I'm dead?
Yeah. Why was there a pile of apple seeds on the kitchen table?
Maybe that was insensitive, but it's just if you're going out there and feeding your fish and you like slip and fall and you fall face first, like
you're going in the water,
can't you just?
I don't know.
Well, I do say like my mom was always, she never wanted me to go in there because she said there was like, you know, you could get locked up, you know, you get caught down in like the seaweed stuff and then.
You could. Maybe you got stuck in the mud.
Yeah. The Muncie Nest monster got him.
Nice. Not the Loch Ness, the Muncie.
All right, we need to do some final thoughts and wrap this thing up. We're starting to run a little long. Dakota's getting cranky. We're 6 hours past his bedtime with daylight saving time. My boy Zach, we got any final thoughts? Anything to promote?
Well, it is Veterans Day, and so we need to thank Chris Staten for his service because we know he loves for people to be thankful for everything he's done. If you want to like take some time and think about Chris, go to Walmart. Two guys picture up on the wall.
Go in through the grocery entrance. Extra Boss Hog points if you find a picture and tweet it back to him. Mason has been slayed.
I try not to look at that damn picture.
Nobody can hear you if you don't use the microphone. Do you have any final thoughts, Mason? You bought some more tickets. You're wearing your Luke Combs shirt. You were mad about the CMAs for some reason. Did Luke Combs get shorted? Is that why you're grumpy?
It's just I'm about over award shows. I mean, he rightfully won the one he did. It's just sometimes I wonder, I really do, because both of those artists play to a different audience. I mean, Chris Stapleton, he's got a young, older following, and I Stapleton's probably the best vocalist in country music in the last 15, 20 years. Vocalist. I'm saying vocalist. He's an amazing singer. Awesome live. He's not a performer, but he won couple awards last night in the same category as Luke, and they just I don't think they should have swung that away.
So you're just grumpy.
So I'm grumpy, but Sour Luke grapes. Ended it with the Entertainer of the Year. So he's following the footsteps of the goat of Garth. He's got six more to tie Garth. Garth would have more if he didn't pull himself out of the running.
He went Bill Elliott and checked out a most popular driver.
He would. I actually saw an article that official voting, everything was leading to Garth getting his eighth if he didn't pull himself out of Entertainer of the Year last year. So upsetting, whatever. Got some snagged him. Well, I had tickets for Luke in Memphis. Sold them, and I found a deal on one. So
do you have a favorite Memphis themed song? Queen of Memphis, Walking in Memphis.
Yeah,
that's how I got to sing Memphis.
It. I'm gonna sing it when I walk in there. I'm gonna send you guys a video.
All right.
If I don't, if
there's
I
there's a Johnny Cash song that's Memphis related too, I believe the Shoeshine Boy. I think that's
something about shoes. I guess
rhythm.
Rhythm. Get rhythm. Yeah, that's a Memphis song.
Oh, get a rhythm when you get the but no, we'll head down there next weekend. Boy, it'll be a good time.
Slow down.
8 hour drive. Yeah. So.
Nice.
Joey, you're awesome, man.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Anything else we forgot? There's so much going on with you that I tried to catch the highlights.
No, man, everything. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I'd say for all your great listeners out there, I know there's probably a big tie into motorsports and IndyCar, and if you want some more conversation, me and Connor do Speed Street once a week now, and we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on my YouTube channel, the video version as well, Joey Molinaro. You can subscribe there. So we're having fun, and we appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you, Jeremiah and Dakota and Mason and Zach, for always being so kind, supportive, and having me out here. And I'm looking forward to 2022 and some more trips and great times going to some races.
Big stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm. Captain Connor.
D squared.
I just wanted to say really quick that we don't point it out enough or very often that we do also have a YouTube channel where you can listen to all of the audio episodes. If you prefer to listen to things on YouTube, like if you have YouTube Premium but you don't have like Spotify Premium and you get Spotify ads mixed with our ads, then YouTube, you're not going to have that problem if you have the Premium. So, you know, but that option is always available. And also like... subscribe, like the show, leave us reviews and things. All those things help out all of the social media
help out
algorithms.
The reach.
So
yeah, and the algorithm lets people know, hey, people like this show. You should listen to it too.
People
get bumped up. That's important. Right. It's important for this show. It's important for Speed Street. So remember that.
The algos. You got to follow. That's all I got.
I had a little thing for Patreon I'm going to bring up now. I think fall cleanup is a total scam. I worked
fall
from home.
Fall cleanup.
The leaf blower guys, the people that are worried about all the crap that's coming down in your yard. This is probably Dakota. You're probably out there shoveling leaves every day.
No,
worrying.
Way, man. Screw that.
But I see people with their damn leaf blowers every day in my neighborhood.
So
cleaning up their they're just wasting effort.
You're big. Just let it sit.
Just let it sit. And once they all come down, then run it over with your mower.
I do the same thing with leaves as I do with the dog shit.
Oh, God. Well, that you're
run
a terrible
it over
dog
with
owner.
The mower.
Not going to your yard. Not going to your house.
Yeah, I can tell you where it is.
Hey, Mason's having a cookout. You want to come by? Nope.
Stay on the deck.
Not doing it. Nope.
I do mulch the backyard a couple of times. Like
you
just
got a forest back there, though.
Just because we go... No, not in my fenced-in area.
Okay.
Just because that's where we hang out at. Like, we hang out over there. But, like... The rest, where all my trees are, I got a bunch of trees
in the front yard. When the leaves are still coming down, you're not out there every day with the leaf, the leaf blower, blowing stuff to the street.
I wait the rest,
bagging them up.
Yeah, the rest of the yard, except for my fenced-in area where we hang out. The rest of it, I just let it go until they're 90% down and it's a nice day, and then I just spend a few hours mulching them, and I like blow out the landscaping beds and stuff where the leaves have accumulated around plants and things. I'll blow it out there so that I can mulch those. But that's the extent.
That's all you do.
Tell you what, I came home Sunday afternoon from Brown County, spent the weekend hunting, and my neighbor had leaf blowed my whole yard. I was like,
what?
Yeah. I was like, Dad, did you leaf blow? He said, you think I'd bring my ass over there to leaf blow? I said, Well, that's why I asked. But my yard had no leaves in it. I had leaf blown a couple days before, but leaves had fallen since. Covered the yard back up. I go out there. All of them sitting in the yard. Neighbor's yard's leaf blown.
I just think it's my a yard's leaf giant blown. Waste of time because you get a windy day like today and you got rid of all yours. Now you got your neighbor's leaves. What the hell's the point?
I mowed my yard today. Mostly I like scalped it in hopes that the wind would take the leaves to other people's yards.
To eliminate the resistance.
Yeah, eliminate the resistance.
I think it's
then it rained. So I mowed my yard at 11 and then went to eat lunch, came back. You not only can't tell, the leaves are all, there's more leaves in my yard now than there were before I mowed. My yard looks worse and I mowed a whole layer of leaves.
I think it's a power complex when it comes to leaf blowers.
Yeah.
You know, you ever felt the power you feel when you had to, you know?
Especially the backpack one.
Yeah, you got one of those, and as soon as you turn it on, those leaves just go flying. It's all clean. I think people are just like desperate to feel that power. You know?
It's just fun.
It's just people hiding from their wives.
That's what it is.
I got to go leaf blow the leaves. It's like 3 or 4 weekends of hiding.
Can't hear her yell at you. Yeah,
sorry,
you know?
I couldn't hear you.
The backpack leaf blower is fun. Like the one you hold in your hand,
yeah,
and it vibrates your hand and makes you tired. Your shoulder gets tired, you know. You got to keep switching arms back and forth, but that backpack, you just can keep going until it's out again.
If your leaf blower has like a reverse cycle where it just sucks them up, I understand. And then I use a leaf blower.
My yard's
to clean up.
Way too big for any of that.
Grass clippings is the only thing I use it for. Blow it off the sidewalk.
Start I've with donuts and with grass clipping.
That's not have like
mulch.
It's like this it's very much big. A brand for us.
It's good. Like that big. It's so.
All right. Well, this show ended with a Peter. it's gone. It's over. You guys are awesome. We'll be back next week, and I promise we got an episode of Jesse Riddle complaining about. I think we officially about have it dogs. Scheduled. He's going to complain about service animals, and I can't wait. We'll see you all then.